What is God calling you to do? What is the one thing you were born to do? Are you truly doing what you're called to do? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Callings for Life, God's Plan, Your Purpose. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about Callings for Life at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Callings for Life, God's Plan, Your Purpose. I don't know what the right thing to do is. I'm not a doctor, an epidemiologist, an educator, or an expert on how schools of all places could open during a pandemic that seems to have no end in sight, at least in the near term. There are voices calling for complete opening up. There are voices for calling for complete shutting down. And then there are a lot of schools, the school in the town where I live, who say, yes, we will open, but it will be online only. And the local parents are scared. I think it's genuinely true to say they're scared. What are we going to do about that? We're going to have some parental concerns aired over online-only education in the fall. Katie Faust joins us on this Tuesday afternoon. She is founder and director of the children's rights organization Them Before Us, co-author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Seattle Parents on Online-Only School This Fall, Kindergarten Via Distance Learning. Are you kidding me? Katie, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me again.
They're in Seattle. What is the situation for opening schools?
Well, they announced last week that they are going to be going to all online school. Previously, they thought they were going to do some kind of a hybrid method where they would have kids at school part-time and then online part-time. But last week, they announced that they were going to be doing only virtual school beginning in the fall, and we don't know when that may change. And it's not just Seattle Public Schools. Several surrounding districts are following suit.
Why, relatively speaking, do we hear so little, have we heard so little during the pandemic about the effect of COVID-19 restrictions on children?
Because stay-at-home moms are too busy parenting their kids and educating and discipling them to write blogs and go on interviews, and they're too busy to make the policy themselves. But if parents were making policy, this would look very, very different. The parents that I know are really struggling with this. They're watching their kids suffer, especially all of the last minute changes that require parents to figure out what they're going to do a month before school starts. The volatility is one thing. The social deprivation, I mean, even beyond the academics, which is a huge concern, but just the social deprivation that the kids have had to go through, it's no small thing, right? But because the people who are actually dealing with the kids and the fallout of the kids are not making the policy, I think that's why we're getting some decisions made that don't necessarily reflect children's best interests.
So if parents were making these decisions, setting these policies for opening schools, and they were taking the best advice from epidemiologists and from medical professionals, what would that policy look like, Katie?
Yeah, I wrote an article that appeared today in The Federalist called Seattle Parents on Online-Only School This Fall, Kindergarten Via Distance Learning, Are They Kidding Me?, which is a direct quote from one mom. And we began that article by talking about how the experts unanimously agree that this virus is not a threat to children, that there, you know, one UK leading scientist said there has been no recorded cases anywhere in the world of a teacher catching the coronavirus from a kid. Contact tracers in Iceland revealed that parents are much more likely to transmit COVID to their children than vice versa. We cite cases that show that all these other schools throughout the world have not seen outbreaks in schools or daycare centers. We quote the American Academy of Pediatrics that says that policy considerations for the upcoming year should begin with the goal of having all students physically present in school at all times. And the director for the Centers for Disease Control said, look, there are greater public health threats to keeping children at home than reopening school. So when you actually look at what the experts are saying about schools, not incidences and increases in cases, but how kids are impacted by school closures, it's very clear that the science and data, which the Seattle Public Schools says is charting their course, is in fact on the side of reopening for any student that feels like they can go to school full time.
What, in fact, is driving the current policy for opening schools in cities like Seattle?
Well, what they say is the data, right? They say science and data is driving this decision. But the only data that they cite is rising case numbers. Now, you can have a conversation about the number of increased tests that we're having, and could that be where the increased numbers of cases are coming from, is that we're doing these rising numbers of testing. But other than that, like I said, the science and the data does not support keeping schools closed. You certainly could allow parents to make their own decisions and say, look, my kid's at risk, or we live with our grandparents, so we're going to keep them home. But to say that all kids should have distance learning at home is not something that is supported by the science or the data.
You talked with some parents who were struggling with not only the reopening of school, but what the online learning may mean for their children. They've seen a little bit of it at the end of the last school year. What did you discover?
That it was not a good option for anybody, not even the parents that were interviewed for this specific article, but just my friends in general who had to do the online school for their kids. I know that a lot of these schools are working very hard to provide an alternative, but kids simply don't respond the same way, especially kids these ages, to online school. Part of it is that it's harder for the teacher to communicate online. Part of it is their kid doesn't understand what's happening through the video call as much. Part of it is the teachers are less connected and aware. It's harder to get materials to them. There's very unequal teaching that's happening. In some places, you might have a teacher that's very involved and connected. In some, it's simply an email here or there, or like, let me give you an explanation for 5 or 10 minutes on a video and now do the rest on your own. So it's quite uneven. And what parents found is even in those last like 3 months of online schooling last year, a lot of times there just wasn't any education taking place. The education that was taking place was ineffective. Or even if the teachers were teaching during that full time, the child still needed a parent with them there 100% of the time, or everything explained after the call was over. So the parents ended up doing a lot of the schooling anyway, and the kid ended up looking at a screen for several hours a day. So the parents that we talked to just said, this is a subpar education. Even if they're spending a lot of time, they're actually not being educated through video, and therefore their education is going to suffer as a result.
What do we know about the effects so far on the mental and emotional health of children with regard to this issue?
So this was a huge point of response for the parents that got back to us on our questions about how their children were going to be impacted by this decision. And what we heard is that kids are experiencing incredible rates of anxiety and depression because kids are not supposed to be isolated like this. No human should be isolated the way that many of us have had to be isolated through the past several months. But children especially, you know, when they are at these critical stages of child development, need to be with peers. Yes, they need education. Yes, they need math and reading, which our national test scores on math and reading are not going to be done any favors by distance learning. But even beyond that, especially with elementary age kids, it's more than just, you know, memorizing your multiplication tables. At these ages, kids need to work through problems with peers. They need to see peers. They need to follow directions. They need to be in group settings. They need to laugh together, and they need to run around the playground together. This is not just an optional aspect of childhood. This is a critical aspect of child development. And the closest thing that I can use to illustrate that is that seeing other kids, and whether that's in a school setting or just a homeschool setting, but being with other kids, having to follow directions, having to work out conflict, getting to play together, imaginary play, rough and tumble play, all different ways that kids interact with their peers is so important at each of these different developmental stages. It's as if we are seriously starving children of a critical aspect of their development. And I feel like the closest analogy would be to say, look, kids, for this year that you're not in school, that you just have to look at a video screen, it's as if we're saying you have to go without eating protein. You have to go without eating protein for this year. How do you think kids' physical development would go if you starved them of that critical aspect of nutritional health, right? Well, that's what we're asking kids to do when we isolate them. And further, stick them in front of a screen. I mean, of all the things that our kids have struggled with, even prior to this virus, screen addiction was certainly one of them. And that is something that many of the parents in our article cited as a concern that they have. They're like, look, my kid is addicted to screens enough. The last thing they need is mandated 5 hours in front of a screen.
Katie Faust is our guest, founder and director of the children's rights organization, Them Before Us. We're talking about parental concerns over online-only education in the fall. When we come back, we'll be talking with her a little bit more. Then Wesley Smith will join us to talk about Canada's annual medical assistance in dying report.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Bahama Mama, Ocean Pacific, Paradise Island. Retreat from the heat with a shaved ice snow cone from Tropical Snow in Caseyville, Illinois. It's right across the street from Collinsville High School. Tropical Snow is open weekdays from 1 to 9 and weekends from noon to 9. Premium snow, epic flavors, lots of love. Tropical Snow, across the street from Collinsville High School at 2134 South Morrison Avenue in Caseyville.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
The Holy Trinity addresses three important things for the reader.
Dr. Carl Beckwith talking about his book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, The Holy Trinity.
It explains the difficulties we face in confessing the Trinity in our world today. It shows how Scripture carefully and decisively presents the Trinity, and it rehearses the sound pattern of words used by the Church to clarify and defend the witness of Scripture.
Learn more about the Holy Trinity at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com. We're discussing parental concerns over online-only education in the fall with Katie Faust of Them Before Us. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're connected to Issues Etc. Katie, what do we know about the effects of online-only education on special needs children?
This is a real sad point that many parents with special needs children get therapy for their kids through school. And many states, by law, are required to offer these IEPs, right, these special education programs tailored specifically for their child. So not only does that child need to be educated, but the school district has served as a source for occupational therapy and speech therapy. My son receives vision therapy through the schools, which has been incredibly helpful for him to be able to learn how to use his limited vision really well. That kind of therapy is virtually impossible to offer online. Those are all things that have to be done in person. And so what we're seeing and what parents of special needs kids are reporting is they have worked so hard to achieve these developmental goals. And years, they'll be working with their children to do things like improve eye contact with other students or use their fine motor skills better or whatever it is, whatever challenges those kids have, that they much of the therapy was being provided through the school district. Now they're seeing that progress completely stripped away, especially for parents whose kids have autism or other disorders, other issues that make it difficult for that child to connect with peers. So much of peer development involves practice and regular contact. And these hard-fought gains by special needs kids are rapidly, rapidly getting eaten away by these school closures.
Talk about this in the context of the fact that the American education system was already lagging behind several other developed countries in key subjects even before the pandemic hit.
Right, exactly. You know, I feel like the pandemic and the decisions around the schools have pushed us even further in reverse. What we needed was better education. What we needed was smaller classrooms. What we needed was more intense learning on things like math and science and reading and writing. What we needed was, you know, more time with students having direct contact with the materials. What we needed was more in-person, real-life connection for kids instead of virtual connection. What we needed was things that allowed them to come out of their bubble so they weren't as anxious and depressed and disconnected. And let me just say, you know, isolation is directly connected to depression, right? And our kids were already facing issues of depression. And so all of these decisions that the school district is making is only exacerbating the existing problems that many American school children were facing.
I think if you asked the kids what they wanted, and they probably felt at first when the pandemic hit that they were getting an early summer vacation, the extra long summer, but it didn't really work out that way. Do the kids themselves want to go back to school?
I have a lot of contact with kids. I've got four in my house, and I'm very connected to my friends who also have kids. There are no kids in my world who are saying, "How amazing. I'm so glad that I don't get to see my friends and I don't get to go to school and I don't get to go to soccer practice and they've canceled the baseball season and I don't get to go to any summer camps." And there's nothing that kids have been able to do. All of their social outlets have been shuttered. And so many of us scrapped around and tried to figure out what we could do so that they didn't have such a significant educational gap. And maybe we were successful in that, but, you know, maybe not. But for children to be deprived of those social connections, which, let's be honest, most kids go to school to see their friends, and that's okay. That's acceptable. They don't have to love every minute of what they're learning in class, but kids like to go to school to see their friends. And so that early summer vacation didn't really feel like much because in summer vacation, you get to go to the pool and play with your friends, but the pools are closed. Or you at least get to go to some summer camps and see your friends, but the camps have closed. So I haven't talked to any kids so far that have said, "This is amazing. Let's put this on repeat every year."
What about, finally, the effect on homeschooling? There are some who will opt to do it because they can, because it's a family with one income where the mother is able to stay home and doesn't need to send her children to school in the fall. She can do it herself. What are your thoughts there, Katie?
So, again, one of the other biggest issues that especially the left likes to point out is the achievement gap. They're always railing against the achievement gap. Well, guess what? Families like mine and families like my friends who have worked to make sure that a parent is home and available, who have chosen not to have two full-time incomes so they can afford the boat and the big house and all of that. We have chosen to make decisions so that we've got a parent around to be with our kids so they don't have to come home alone, so they don't have to go to after school programs. Families like mine, with a lot of kind of massaging and stretching, we're going to be able to do it. We're going to be able to homeschool our children. A lot of parents are not in that situation. There's a lot of parents who are still going to work, maybe because they're essential, maybe because they really do need to both go to work so they can pay the bills. And I know people who have 8 and 10-year-olds who sometimes have to stay at home alone because both parents have to go to work. That's not every day, but a couple days it's happened. Do you think that those parents who both have to work, right, or the single mom who was already struggling to keep her kid in school, where she's still going to be doing her job, but her kid's going to have to go to school online, and who knows what that's going to produce? We already know that just the last 3 months of last year is going to exacerbate the achievement gap. What is that going to look like when all of those kids that were already struggling, that were already disadvantaged, that were already vulnerable, now do this for another year? The families who are better off or who are able to have a parent stay home, those kids probably are not going to miss out on a whole lot. But the kids who were already at risk are just going to be that much farther behind. So I look at the school district that constantly claims that they are working to serve the most vulnerable, and I say, well, that's funny, because your policies are doing the exact opposite.
Katie Faust is founder and director of the children's rights organization Them Before Us. She's co-author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Seattle Parents Online Only School This Fall, Kindergarten Via Distance Learning, Are They Kidding Me? You can read it and learn more about Them Before Us on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Katie, thank you very much for the interview, and thanks for speaking at last weekend's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
It was kind of the highlight of my summer, Todd.
Wesley Smith joins us on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about Canada's annual Medical Assistance in Dying report. What is God calling you to do? What is the one thing you were born to do? Are you truly doing what you're called to do? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Callings for Life, God's Plan, Your Purpose. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about Callings for Life at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Callings for Life, God's Plan, Your Purpose.
Timeless truth that prepares scholars to serve their neighbor in all of life through their various vocations. This is what scholars receive at Wittenberg Academy. If you are looking for a solidly Lutheran online education for your child, consider Wittenberg Academy, where doctrine is sound, academics are rigorous, and relationships are genuine. We offer full-time, part-time, and diploma track options to meet your child's Lutheran education needs. We partner with brick-and-mortar schools and homeschools. You can find out more at wittenbergacademy.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Your church's chrismons are from the 80s. They're made of styrofoam, their glitter is shedding, and they're held together with toothpicks. Now is the perfect time to replace them with AdCruisman's Christmas in July sale. Participating artists have discounted their products, so stock up on jewelry, crucifixes, art, church banners, music, greeting cards, and more. Discounts range from 10 to 50% off. Visit us at adcrucem.com to take advantage of the sale. That's adcrucem.com.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.